What do you? Wayne has said that he sent you an article called The Structured Effect. Oh, I see. That because of the C60, the perfect molecule from Wayne. Can you send me a copy of... Oh, yeah, sure. I think I have it right on my desktop. I can send that to you. She said, I've been using it in my eyes, and my eyes have been leaking gunk for 3 weeks. Same as you have said. Did the Flora PM last night. Made it twice. She put Flora PM in her eyes, too. Amazing. It took about 3 weeks on the multi-blend and Bifido. Constipated at first too much. Back down to 2 drops. And simple as you can hardly feel the stuff coming out. Huh. Nice, long, well-formed stools. Good for you. That's what you want. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I'll send that to you. Yeah, tell your friends about Living Streams. They can get on our website. It's the real deal. It'll really have an effect on your body. And I got to tell you, you can imagine how many different kind of probiotics I've taken and being at this, what, 30 years or so? There's so many come out and all these. I just really had never, ever felt anything, much of anything. Until Living Streams products. You know, I never really saw any kind of difference. You know? Pretty curious. Not sure why. Not sure why. A friend of mine was a clinical psychologist who absolutely thought past lives were a bunch of nonsense. I saw her one day and she was visibly shaken. She had been working with a child client and asked her under hypnosis to go back to when the issue began. She went back to another time about 50 years before. Oh, another life? My friend said she checked the names, addresses, and other things that the little girl talked about, and it was true. It was enough to shake my friend's belief system. Strange stuff. Yeah, I don't like the idea of hypnotism. I suspect that they could, you know, you could do that. It's just, I think it's kind of a spooky science. I just don't like the way it's all set up, and you know, it's just, you can do it yourself, but if it helped this girl, fine, thanks, yeah. Interesting. Well, that changed the, so they actually checked and found out that this person or something, yeah. Well, they're real. There's just no doubt about it. No doubt about it. No, just not even a question anymore. We just don't die. So what do you think we're going to be doing like a million years from now? Woo. Think about that one, make your head explode. You know, I did a thing the other night that I really thought was fascinating. I like to contemplate, and the contemplate is where you just kind of sit, close your eyes, and think about, really, consciously think about who we are, why we are, God, and see how you can move to this level of that level, or soul travel and change and travel to another place and time travel, because you can all do it, and you can just do it yourself once you see who you really are, and you get better and better at it. And I'm just a low level at it. Believe me, I'm no expert. But and somehow the idea kind of came up, and I got really thinking about how would it be possible in my book and other things to really help people to understand about the karma past life thing without you know, preaching to them, and you know, how could I do that? And so those, that's the kind of thing that I think about when I'm contemplating, and then these kind of answers come through because you're really connecting with spirit at that point, because we are spirit. So when we think quietly, contemplate, it's a step higher than meditation. Meditation, you just kind of clear your mind, watch your breath, look at your nose, look at your tummy, and fine, thank you very much, and then what? You know, it doesn't, you don't go anywhere. Maybe, you know, you might travel up around astral plane to mental plane or something, but what you want to do is really, you know, connect with divine spirit, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Chi, connect up there, and you can do it more easier through contemplation, where you just say, hello, how are you? Am I you? Are you me? Anyway, so I was contemplating, and I thought about the idea that some people believe that when you die, it is just lights out, right? Black, fade to black, poof, nothing. Fade to black, poof. Not a memory, you're just not conscious, you're just gone. And if you really think about that, if you really contemplate that and try to imagine what that would be like, you can't. It's impossible. You can't even do it. I challenge you to try to get the image, get the feeling, get whatever it would take to see how it would be for you if you just faded to black. Boom. Like some people believe. Nothing. Boom. Back. No more. No memories, no future, no past. Never existed. I just don't know anything. I'm just gone. You can see how you just can't do it. And the reason is because it can't happen. You can't even imagine it. And if you can't imagine it, it can't happen. Fade to black only works in the movies. Just can't happen. Can't die. We're in. We're in for the duration. So that would even be, that's a great argument for really, don't you think, of understanding and you know, doing the kind of things we talk about on the show to figure out and to find a teacher that can help you to do this or that, or practice, or whatever it takes. As uncomfortable as it is, or as weird as it is, to really understand who we are, why we are, where we are, there we are, and because if you think about eternity, it's, you know, how long you want to do it like this? You want to have a body and a physical body and deal with physical reality, the law of opposites, good and evil, cold and hot, love and hate, for another 1,000 years? I don't. You might want to, fine. I don't. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. You know what I mean, jelly beanie? You know what I mean, jelly beanie? You know what I mean, jelly bean. How about you? Did you do some? I'm still in the milk thing, and boy, I'm really kind of liking it. It's only been a couple of weeks on the cow's milk. Sometimes better than others, but generally it goes down really nicely, and I'm just hoping that my body long term is going to like it, because I'm just telling my body, this is the deal. So you you know what I mean? I'm just saying, okay, I love you and all that stuff, but just don't get silly. You just, you know, figure it out. And it's funny, my Ayurvedic doctor, I told him about it. I said, why don't you experiment with some raw milk, and talked about the lady. And Ayurveda has been a proponent of boiling raw milk, forever. And you boil it and you simmer it for a couple hours, a couple minutes, and that'll kill any kind of buggies that are in there. And I can recall Wayne Blakely told me one time, he said, man, he said, I've done some studies and I've seen some some cultures and raw milk, even grass-fed. There's stuff in there that you don't even want to think about. He said, I wouldn't drink that stuff without boiling it. He told me that. He said, he's seen quite a few, because he's a bug expert. So I go, whoa. And so that's why Ayurveda has always talked about that. Now, certainly it'll kind of kill a few enzymes. You know, it'd be probably enzymatically, you lose some, but that's about it. You don't lose anything else. And milk is really one of the most perfect foods ever. And most of the natural folks out there are all out there saying, cow dairies, get off of cow dairy and get off of grains. And it may be true for a lot of people. It's probably one of the two most reactive foods on the planet, cow dairy and wheat, because of all the stuff they've... I don't know why the dairy is so hard. It's just probably a karmic kind of thing, but it's got nothing to do with the fact that milk or cream or butter is good or bad for you. It's just, I think our intestines get so crumped up there, and they just... It's one of the easy things to leak through, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I talked to my Ayurveda doctor about it, because I said, I'm really starting to lift some weights now, and we're building some muscle and a muscle building program. And he said, that'd be great. He said, I can't think of a better thing that you could do. He said, that really helped you get put on some weight. So I'm drinking the whole, I changed from goat milk to cow's milk. Because he said, think about it. I mean, those little baby cows, they get bones as big as your leg. I said, yeah, well, never thought about that. And he said, as far as digesting it, he said, your body will just figure it out. That's exactly what he said to me. Don't worry about it. He said, you might have a few little bumps and grinds and little, whatever, stools doing this, or even a little discomfort. Just keep doing it. He said, your body will just get used to it. You're just kind of saying, this is the deal. So I like that. I said, yeah, I'll do that for a while. But we'll see. Who knows? I could be here a month from now saying, man, there's no way I'm drinking anymore. You never know. Everything is subject to change. Everything is subject to change. I love that saying, don't you? Everything is subject to change. Why is that? Well, because we're always changing our focus. And we change our focus of where we are and then where we are. Where we are is where we are. So we change our focus over here and then we're over there. And then we say, well, what about what you just said 20 minutes ago? Well, I'm over here now and this is the way it looks, so let's forget about that. How sweet is that? Judy, where is she? Leona, Kentucky? You're so cute. When are you going to find a girlfriend? Well, thank you, Judy. Well, we'll just see how cute. I'm looking pretty cute these days. We're going to do video. Thanks. That was very sweet. Made my day here. Well, we're just all figuring out how to get cuter and cuter. Cuter and cuter. .com. Cuter.com. A girl, well, there's always... Who knows? We're just kind of hanging out, and as long as we're not getting older, it doesn't matter, right? Who's in a hurry? She's just around the corner, or flying around, or who knows? Yeah, I don't know about that one. How are you going to find a girl? Sounds like my mom. She always used to say to me, when are you going to find a wife? When are you going to get married and have a kid? Mom. Oh, I guess mothers wish that for their... So now our listeners are... I'm like that too with everybody. Like, I'm always trying to get Dr. Daniels, right? Asking her about her boyfriends. So did you find that guy yet? She said, well, I'm still looking. Been reading some of your posts on Facebook, writes Barbara. you sure don't believe in man-made global warming, do you? Keep up the good work. No, I don't. Thank you. I don't. Did you hear the show with what's his name the other day? Tony Heller? Whew. Now, he's a pretty interesting fellow. He's an environmentalist. He's a hippie, lives in Boulder, Colorado. Actually grew up the whole socialist agenda. But he's a real interesting engineer, scientist, geologist. And he had a job forever, many years, hired by different companies. And you know what he did? Before they put a product on the market, he was one of the guys they gave it to, whatever it would be, a particular product, the engineering, the math, to find the flaws in the product, to find the flaws in their math or flaws in their system or flaws here, flaws there, a lot of flaws everywhere. He said, I would sometimes find a thousand different things. That was bonkers with a chip or something. Could you imagine? I don't. But that's how they go through the process. It's not a criticism for the people who make it. So he's very meticulous. So he's been on this whole man-made global warming thing for a long time, and he presents a pretty interesting picture of how so many things with the climate alarmists who are out there talking about this, they just got it wrong. And he can prove to you and show you graphs. It's so fascinating. Where, say on a graph they were looking at, I don't know, temperatures. So what they would do is go back and just find the place where it was the coldest and start there with the graph, whether it be 1975 or whatever it was, or the warmest. And then it goes down, it goes back down. So it was very, very, very warm back in the 20s and 30s and all of that. Really, they had dust bowls and it was huge. And then then it goes back down to normal. And then it is true that it's now, the Earth is a little bit warming, very slightly, very, very slightly, since 1980 or so, very slightly. Nothing to do with CO2, but very slightly. So then they pick that graph to start there, where it's the coldest, and then it's going to look like, and they do that with everything, water temperatures, with the ice melt, with everything. So just that alone, you just know the deal is a scam. And then the big one is, which I found was really fascinating, that I learned on a documentary that we put on Facebook, where one of the flagship ideas that Al Gore presented in the Inconvenient Truth in 2006 video, that won an Academy Award, by the way. Yeah, good luck with that. It was that they showed on a graph of going way, way back. Whew. I don't know exactly how far back. You'd have to look at the video. I don't know if I could stand to go through it. And they showed that, as you know, they showed that when the Earth was warming, you know, a kabillion years ago even, there was more CO2 when the Earth was warming. Of course, we didn't even start producing CO2 till, I don't know what, 1900, something like that, the industrial age. But it turns out that they can prove, because of Earth core samples and ocean temperatures, all kinds of stuff, which has been taken forever, Earth core, is that the Earth's warming, which is a lot of reasons why that, the different planets, their position in the sun, in the sky, the sunspots, the Earth's ocean temperatures, which are affected by the planets and the sunspots, the Earth's warming actually caused an increase in the CO2. Not the other way around. But if you look at the graph, it just shows that the CO2 and the warming are just on one track, right? But of course, they're not showing you year by year by year. They might be showing you 50 or 100 years by 100 years, because some of the lag time is 300 or 400 years later after the Earth warms, then there's more CO2 released into the atmosphere. And I think it comes released through the trees and through the ice and through the oceans and all kinds of places. So the whole flagship idea that the climate alarmists put forward with the CO2 and Earth warming is just wrong, just a lie. They just cook the books. So I don't get a pretty strong position about many things, but this is, I think it's important that we talk about it. This is a huge, huge deal. Multi-trillion, billion-dollar stuff is being wedged against this. And it's all very, very well-to-do, important, not important, but well-to-do, globalist, internationalist, the UN, you know, all the governments. And it's just the money people. They want this whole global warming thing, and because they want to control the energy. And once you control the energy, then you control pretty much everything. Turn the lights out when you want, whatever. Control the internet. And so much money to be made, and all this green, new Green Deal thing. Trillions of dollars, which they don't have. And of course, they don't tell you where they're going to get the $1 trillion, $10 trillion to do the new Green Deal. They leave that part out. Boy, would I love to be in one of these debates. Think they'll let me in? I could put some of these people out of business. And they must all be fixed, because nobody really. The whole thing is weird, isn't it? Oh well, don't get involved. But it's funny, so I think it, I don't mind telling people about it. Every now and then you take a stance about something. Probably not a good idea. You always get hit in the rear end with it somewhere, but oh well. I don't care. I'll take my hits. You know, it's really an interesting idea. I just shared with you the idea of cause and effect. So there's only one real cause, right? Cause, which is divine spirit, which is causes everything, which is the mojo that makes the mojo mo. And that's how we manifest things, and that's how the stars came into being, and that's how everything comes into physical reality through spirit. The Holy Spirit, chi, prana, the way, whatever you want to call it. That's how God manifests itself in physical reality. And the spirit needs us to manifest what we want. So if we want to get a pony, we work with spirit to teach us how to create a pony. And when we get real clever, we do. You know, sometimes it's just a amount of going to work and buying, going to work, making some money, and buying a pony. That's the creative process. That's how it works. I'm not talking about just plopping a pony in your backyard, which I guess has happened, but that doesn't happen very often because you don't learn anything doing that, except I guess you could be learning that you can manifest instantly, but I've never met anybody that can do. I know a couple people can do that, but they don't, because it's not cool. You don't want to show off. Anyway, so the point was that there's cause and there's effect, and all of these things that we see are effects. You know, all these things are just effects. Buildings and our bodies. Our bodies are just an effect of our image of ourself, made to the image and likeness of God. Made in an image and likeness of God in the Bible. And they're not talking about, many people translated that into, oh, well then God must look like an old man, because, and that's what the whole huge man in the clouds. But there are some gods that look like that, that you can go see, not on this plane, but they exist. Satnam is one. There's a real huge dude, kabillion miles high, thundering voice. He exists. He's not the end of the line, but He's way up there. Satnam. There's lots of, not lots, but there's a few spiritual paths out of India that use that name to chant, Satnam, which I think they use it as peace, like Satnam, where we chant Hue, and other spiritual practices chant Hue, a holy name for God, Satnam. But anyway, this cause and effect, so when we, like Patrick, chooses to take a little, you know, a little position on the man-made global warming thing, just because I think it could be helpful for more people to learn, and, you know, could save a lot of strife for people 100 years from now, I do realize that it's, when you do that, it's a karmic event. You do create karma when you do that, because you don't create. So you got to be careful when you take a position on something and say you're for something. Because when you're for something, there's always going to be somebody that's against something. That's the way it works. So you have to just be prepared. So it's okay to be the effect of something, like I'm choosing to do on the global warming thing, as long as we're conscious that we are the effect. And when we're conscious that when we are effect, then it makes it a whole lot easier to work with anything that comes down the line to balance this out. Because it all has to be, does that make sense? Yeah. So we're conscious that we're the effect of the mind that created the body, and we're conscious of it, and someday when we really get to the point where we believe this thing is not even real at all, I don't even know what we're doing, I'm not the body, you know, this might be time just to leave it. And they'll say, oh, there goes Patrick, he died, he was just doing so well. I wonder what happened to him. He got tired, man, he just got tired of living in this thing. Boop, he left. So when we're the effect and we're conscious of it, you know, that's a lot different than not understanding how all this stuff works as far as diet, you know, and exercise and the lifestyle, and God love them, most people, they don't know, you know, they're not taught, and creating all kinds of stuff because they're just not taught, and you know, they just eat whatever they want and they get sick. So lots of folks don't want to do that, try to do it another way. So we're here to support you. And even if you want to do it the other way, we support you anyway. You'll be fine. Well, this is Open Phone Friday, October 4, 2019. 30 days past September. Adam's going to be here on Monday. Hi, Adam. He just sent an email. How did we return? 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide is supposed to be the point of no return. Oh, is that what the globally people say? 50 million years ago, carbon dioxide was much higher. 6,000 parts per million? How did we return from that? Do you suppose global warming is caused by men's nocturnal emissions? Adam, you rascal. Nocturnal emissions. Oh my God. Really? Is that true? 50 million years ago, there was 6,000 parts per million of carbon dioxide. And so where's it come from? I guess it comes from the ocean and the clouds, and I don't know. Yeah, how old is the Earth? Is it 5 billion? I think it's, well, they don't really know for sure. But the Beaker boys, you give them enough money and they'll do a study and they'll figure out how old the Earth is. Well, I'll tell you that. That's right. You just give me enough to you. You just give me enough money and I'll figure it out. By the way, how old would you like it to be? Oh, really? Oh, good. Sure, I can do that. We can get close to that. Can you show me the numbers where that's going to... Yeah, no problem. Really? That might cost more. How much you need? Well, you know, you could use another 100 grand. Well, okay. I'm being silly, of course, but I don't support... I don't suppose these studies are any much different from that. Most of them. Yeah, money's behind every one of them, even the ones that you and I like. Somebody's money somewhere. Nancy has sent us pictures. We can't show... Oh, maybe when we do video we can show pictures? Oh, little baby chicks and little baby deers. She's got, she has little, oh, that's sweet. She has little things around their neck. She says, a great day. Baby chicks are being born. My beautiful fawn is growing into a beautiful doe. Oh, love your show so much. Thanks, Nan. Wow. So this doe just kind of sticks around, huh? Little fawn. Yeah, we see them every now and then around here. They get lost. Only had one really that we found on the property that was totally lost, and we didn't mess with her for 2, 3, 4 days, thinking the mom would come back and just, you know. And the little oh, so sad. So I put them in the back seat with Bria, my golden retriever, then, and they just cuddled. It was so cute. I should have taken a picture. And we took them to one of these places where they, you know, they raise them up and give them some food and let them get back to their old selves again, or grown up, and then they release them. It's kind of nice. Yeah, it's a jungle out there. You know where that saying came from? Yeah, it was long ago. Really, it's a true story. I wouldn't lie to you, this is long ago. When we were living in the trees, and I think we used to live in the trees, we humans, I think we lived in the trees because there was really huge monsters down there just eating people that came out of the oceans. That's my theory. And they were just, so I think we lived up there for a long time. Long time. Until the Ice Age, I think, got them monsters. I don't know how we survived in the trees, but I don't have that part figured out. I just make this stuff up. But anyway, so I think we lived in the trees. So we swung around like Tarzan. And I think that's where the inclined bed therapy came from, too, that we used to sleep in the... What do they call that place? There's probably a proper word for the place in the tree that's like a U. And we would... I think we'd sit in there and our... Maybe I remember this... And our back is kind of at a 45 degrees, or even lower, depending on the angle of the tree. I mean, that would be the place to sleep. That'd be the only place to sleep, because you're not going to sleep on the branch, duh. You're going to fall off of there. But so I think we slept in that. Okay, help me out here. What's that word? There's a word for the place in the tree that, you know. So I think that's why we do better when we sleep with our head and our back above, you know, in the inclined bed. Maybe 6 inches. Maybe it's more. So this is kind of a past life thing. I remember is I was swinging around day. Man, it was terrible. It was, whew, man, I was hot and I was sweaty and there was a lot of people swinging around, and I landed there and I said to my wife, boy, it's a jungle out there, dear. I said, man, that's where that saying came from. Really? See, I was hypnotized and I heard that. Past life thing. It's a jungle out there. Man, it's crazy. On my list here, hydrogen, milk, for and against. Yeah, this is kind of a cool idea. as long as I'm just blabbing away here. But if you'd like to join the show before we cut out, I'll stick around. 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Most people email because they don't, you know, they're just shy. They're just shy, you know. I know. Don't be shy. It's okay. I don't bite. I've really been giving a lot of thought to some of these ideas out there that are really being hammered away. I guess one of them would be that dairy is bad for you and grains are bad for you, the Gundry thing, right? Reminded me because somebody wanted us to get Gundry on the show, and lectins are bad for you. And I just don't have the energy or the interest in going a lot of these different things because I think you know, technically on paper, maybe for some people, unless you really want me to, I mean, we could do more of those shows, but I don't have the juice for it much anymore. I'm sorry, I just don't. I think they you know, they cherry pick these different things. And plus too, God love them, you just miss the big picture of who we are and why we're eating this or that, and why it could be bothering us and why it doesn't bother us, and is this really what we need at the moment? And but to get all, you know what I'm saying, when it gets all mental, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I want to, you know, I can't eat this, it's just, I think it's, believe me, I went through it, but I just think it's a trap, for, you know, just my opinion. You do what you want, but, you know, think about that. Be careful with that. My opinion, I think what happens is that we as soul, we really grab onto these things because we think we're surviving. We think that if we're for something or against something, then we're really surviving and we're doing something. That we're surviving. This is what's keeping me going. Man, I'm for this. I really hate this, or I really love this. So I'm going to, this will be my thing I'll talk about it or think about. And I think it's all a trap. I think it's all just an optical collusion. And, you know, the lower world, some people call it the devil. This lower world is always trying to keep us here, a soul. And they'll just kind of keep planting these ideas, and they're out there floating around. So the lower world created an internet, so now they can just come into your inbox and get you for something or against something. And so we just think we're surviving when we're doing this. Oh, yeah, I'm going to cut out on this. This will be great. This will help me get healthier. Maybe it will. It's also just a, you know, just something else to clog up the works. Lectins, fats, cholesterol. They're all over the place. Well, OneRadioNetwork.com, we just don't sometimes fool around with. We just keep moving forward, and I'm just going to keep evolving the best way I can, and I hope that's interesting to you and the people we talk to. The crook of the tree. Certainly. Thanks. The crook of the tree. That's what I think we used to sleep in the crook. I'm not a crook. The crook of the tree. Of course. Adam says, being a contrarian, I slept for decades with my head lower than my feet, and I did inversion therapy for over an hour each day. Batman is my hero. Oh, so Batman, did he used to hang upside down? No. So I'll talk to you on Monday. I have one of those tables. I got it years ago. Remember when I did the whole sciatica thing, y'all? We say that in Texas, y'all. So I had this idea, and a chiropractor said, well, you can get one of those tables, you can hang upside down, and that'll help spread out your disc, you know, your lower disc. What is that, C6, 7? I don't know. Of course, then I found out, excuse me, yawning's good, so I'm not bored. Yawning's good is, then I found out that it has not too much to do with his lower disc, that it was all muscles that were squeezing my sciatic nerve and my piriformis muscle, and worked on that. It took a while, and it went away. But I suspect a lot of people with the lower back thing, that what happens is that, you know, the muscle, my theory on it, and I could be wrong, I'm wrong about it, is that the muscles will contract because of lack of exercise, sitting the wrong way, doing the wrong kind of motions repetitively, so then the muscles will contract on a particular nerve, be it sciatica or other nerves, and then that can cause the body to get off balance and not be able to walk straight. And the body's infinite wisdom, how to keep the head on straight so we don't tip over, it will do things in the structure, and then that can cause the disc to compress and also pinch a nerve there. And so the docs, orthopedic docs, they'll go in, and people have sciatica, and they'll go in and do an operation on the disc and relieve that nerve away from the disc. But the discs really are compressed mainly because people, structure is a problem, and also most often they're dehydrated, and there's moisture keeping these discs from plopping together, and it's just dehydration pretty much. Because most people out there, you know, people that don't know about this stuff, they don't drink enough water. So then they do the operation, and they feel, oh my goodness, it's solved, I'm cured. And then a year or two later, it comes back because they really didn't get to the cause of the problem. I only saw one Batman movie. It was it the Dark Knight or something? That's the only one I saw. But I don't know if he hung upside down. So anyway, I'll ask Adam. I've got one of those tables. I don't hang upside down very often. Every now and then I get on there, but I guess it'd be good for you. Gets blood to your head, right? Who knows? What kind of things are you getting on your oxygen machine? From Jeffrey. Well, I don't know for sure, but boy, I sure know, Jeffrey, that there's something good going on with breathing that's brown gas. Really, there's something. We know that it's one of the primo antioxidants, so there's no telling how, you know, getting the oxidative stress down over time is going to affect the rest of the things going on in your body, organs, who knows. And then also the water, of course, and being more hydrated. And that's just one of the thing. And then getting rid of inflammation is huge. Because I've even felt some kind of Herxheimer healing response on the hydrogen. Every now and then I'll go through about 2 hours and feeling like I have the flu, and it just kind of comes and glows. And I feel good about it, because I know that there's something that has been moving in my body that I wasn't aware of. Yeah, it could be the parasite thing too, but I don't think so. I don't think you respond like that. I think it's more of a, could be though, but I think it's the hydrogen. when I do sleep, I'm still working on that one. I sleep a lot deeper with the hydrogen. So, you know, and I'm using a lot. You know, I do it a lot every chance I get, man. I'll breathe it in. So who knows? Who knows where it's going? I'm just very excited about it. I think long term, it's going to be just like really help a lot of things that I want to do this lifetime. And I got a lot of things on my list, and it's going to take some time. So that's why I do it, because it takes a long time to get young. Takes a long time to write the book, I'll tell you that. Well, one of my goals is with the hydrogen technologies, I'm going to be able to move more into being more energetic and creative after, you know, doing stuff for 12 hours on the show and stuff, and guests and all the stuff we do, and internet, and now going live. But it's also important to rest, and, you know, there's rhythms in everything. But I've been doing better at that in the middle of the night sometimes, and getting some more writing done, and even lifting weights at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm getting stronger. Just takes a little time, a little slow, just a little by little. As a fascia moving therapist, I've been fascinated that after only a week with the rose cream and coconut oil, old hardened lumps under my skin left over from dental surgery are finally moving. It's been 20 years. That's crazy. I could never get these hard areas to relax and release their hold on the cranial bones. But even just now, I am feeling the temporal bones that have been smushed together against my mandible are finally moving, as they are now independent of each other. Barbara confirmed that the rose cream was disappearing the parasite colonies, allowing me to gain flexible, youth-like response where before it was hard and soldering together. I'll keep experimenting and keep you informed. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's cool, man. That's ooh. That's... Yeah, I'm seeing things happening on my face. It's pretty interesting. And they got to be parasites, unless... They got to be. I mean, what else is the reason? I wanted to look up one thing for you, because I wanted to mention this, and I'm going to do it, called dry needling. But I wanted to find one thing. Bear with me a moment. Liz Hoffmeister. Here she is. Ah, that's the word. There was a listener that sent me an email several months ago about a process called visceral. And to our massage therapist or fascial person that just called, you might want to explore this. There's something going on with this. It's called, you may know about it, visceral manipulation. And there's a fellow in France that I think, you know, these are things that have probably been around forever, and people bring them out, so, you know, just whatever, recall healing. They've all been around forever. There's nothing new under the sun. But anyway, this visceral manipulation, this fellow said that he was having, this is when I was a whole lot deeper into my, you know, tummy challenge. He said, this fellow wrote in, he said, I had this acid reflux thing. I know, he said, I know you don't have acid reflux, but it could tie it into some burning. And I went to a visceral manipulation person, and after one session, it went away. And I thought that was pretty impressive. So I went, learned about visceral manipulation a little bit, and I found a lady in Austin who does this. And maybe about 6, 7, 8 people in Austin do it. But I looked pretty carefully, and she looked like the best choice because she does all kinds of stuff. Breathing patterns, metabolic typing, motion release, body talk, lymphatic drainage, strain, counter strain, muscle energy, cranial sacral, dry needling, myofascial release, primal reflex release, women's health, muscle pattern re-education. One of my great passions is to help people breathe better. And she helped me already. And so anyway, and plus she's German, you know, German last name. Hoffmeister. I said, I like these German people because they're just totally, totally into stuff. You know, like German cars are probably one of the best on the planet. Can I do this 1 second? I just have a little thing I have to do. Daniel Vitalis talks about his two premier medicinal mushroom products, Chaga and Reishi.
Because Reishi and Chaga are considered not just adaptogens, but they're also considered immunomodulators, they're safe for daily consumption for a lifetime. There's a lot of herbs, as you know, Patrick, a lot of herbs are not that way. So many medicinal herbs are meant to be used for short periods of time. But there are those few that can be used daily forever, and medicinal mushrooms are that way.
So these would be called a tonic
herbs.
Yep,
they're essentially tonic, but if we wanted to get even more specific, they're adaptogenic. I feel like we've set a new standard, and we raise the bar, but check it out, see where the bar has been risen to.
You can learn more about these great medicinal mushroom products on Daniel's site. Tonic herbs, adaptogens, dual extraction, fruit bodies, and they're tonics and can be used every day. Modulates the immune system. Chaga and Reishi, special Myron Glass from Sir Thrival on OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with Dr. Thomas Rau, the Pericles Medical Clinic in Switzerland. Their specialty is detoxification. We asked him about far infrared saunas.
The far infrared sauna goes much deeper into the skin subcutaneously. It has its maximum about 4 to 5 centimeters below the skin surface.
You've actually measured materials in the sweat and you've proven this.
Yes, the patients after a week doing this every day, half an hour or 45 minutes, they react quite much with sweat. Then you can collect this sweat, then you measure this, and then you find how much they detoxify with the heavy metals. It's really amazing.
It's really amazing. They've also done tests, you know, Doug and Mel, through the far infrared sauna relax people. And it's pretty cool, where they do a urine test and you have X amount of metals, maybe mercury or stuff coming out of the urine. Get this. And then do the sauna for 30 minutes, do another urine test, and there's more stuff coming out. So not only does the far infrared sauna get it out of your skin, your forehead, your back, your arms, your chest, with sweat, reacts very much, sweat. It also initiates it to come out through liver, kidney, colon, and stuff like that. Is that cool? Yeah. I like them and I do it a lot. I'm doing pretty good. I have my moments, but I'm doing pretty good. So if you'd like to get one, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We have a $9.95 deal ongoing in the lower 48. If you live outside the lower 48, for those of you in Huddle, Texas, that just means not Alaska or Hawaii. I mean, I just email me and I'll hook you up. Just hook you up. We'll just get it done and we'll get one. Wherever you live, we'll get you one. Wherever you live.
Know the source. One Radio Network.
Okay. I was talking about this visceral manipulation. So I made an appointment with her. And the strange thing happened. The first appointment I made, somehow there was a miscommunication either on my end or her end about the time. So I went there. This was about 5 weeks ago, and she wasn't there. I said, well, that's strange. She sounded like a really together gal. So she then emailed me a few hours later. She said, yeah, I just don't know what happened. I'm really sorry. And she just took total responsibility for it. Just, I don't know. Total responsibility for it. And sent me, and I prepaid it, I think. No, I hadn't. What? No, she actually sent me the cost that I was going to pay her. I hadn't paid her anything. In PayPal, she sent it to me. Like $120. I said, wow. So I sent it back. I said, no, you don't have to do that. I said, that's really sweet, but I could have, who knows? Could have been, I could have written down the wrong number. Don't. She said, well, I'm going out of town. I appreciate you sending the money back. You don't have to, but I did. I sent it back. I was going to keep it. And how cool is that? Anyway, so I knew she was really cool, but she said, I'm going to Colorado with my husband, and I'll be back in about 4 or 5 weeks. And so she got back and emailed me, and I went over to see her last Saturday. Was it Saturday? I don't do time. I think it was. No. And she does this visceral manipulation thing, and the first thing she did was really look at my breathing. I'm very, very particular. I lay down, and she had me stand up, and she put her hands on my tummy, and she said, you are just not breathing right. I said, what? I said, I've been doing yoga forever, and I was taught to breathe in my belly in radio, like singers, right? Singers breathe in their belly and not out of your, She said, that's right, but what you're doing, Patrick, is, I was talking a little bit about this with Dr. Sergey. So if you could picture it, if you put your hand on your belly, and there's a fellow by the name of Mike White. She sent me a video. I think that's his name that you can look. But anyway, so if you put your hands on your belly and you say, I'm going to take a nice big deep breath, and you breathe in with your, breathe in there first, which will go down to the lower part of the lungs, right? You go maybe just about an inch. You don't have to get too big. And then you fill up the rest of your lungs by leaving your belly out there and then filling up the sides and let the sides expand. But for me, it's kind of hard to do because what I've been doing for I don't know how long, maybe 50 years or 40 years, ever since I learned about belly breathing, is so I bring out my tummy and then so I go, I'm trying to get the lungs now more full. I'll go, I used to bring in my stomach to push it up, right? That's the total wrong way to do it. And what that does is it causes all kinds of organs to kind of clop together, so to speak, create trigger points in your stomach and create problems. And it could have been one of the key things in this whole heartburn thing is, I was doing it just the wrong way. So now I've been practicing. She gave me some exercises, and it won't take long before every time I breathe, the brain will just rewire itself or just reroute the information. It's all just lights in the brain. So first you work through soul, through the mind, and then the brain will pick it up, and then you'll just breathe properly the right time. It might take a few months, and so I do little exercises. So that was really interesting. Does that make sense? So in other words, if you're trying to fill up the rest, you fill it up by leaving your tummy out. You can do it while you're listening. And then fill up the lungs all the way up. And then they should expand on the sides. But if you put your stomach in like I was doing, the sides don't expand. And what you actually do is you're using your shoulders, which is one of the reasons why I'm constantly having to work my shoulders. That causes the shoulders to tighten up. Who knows what it's doing to the esophagus, who knows what it's doing to the heart and to the stomach. It's just not the way it's supposed to, you're supposed to do. It's just not a natural way to breathe. If you look at a baby, they know how to do it. And yogic breathing is fine as long as they teach you how to not do it. I never had a yoga teacher tell me, make sure now you're not using your stomach going in to get it back full up. Does that make sense? Adam probably has some theories about that on Monday when we do the show. So I thought that was really fascinating. So she gave me some exercises to do and to just to retrain. And so I've been doing those, and it's pretty cool. And so then she didn't even do that. This was not even part of the visceral thing, but she's a big breather. She wants to get people breathing right first. So then she starts feeling around in my stomach, because I was thinking in terms of, and she said, well, there's no reason to believe that your stomach could not be in the right position at this point after breathing like that for a long time. How long? I don't know, 50 years maybe, since I learned belly breathing in the Navy with radio. Who knows how long? I don't know. Who would know? So there's no reason to think why this could not be one of the key things on the whole burning thing, or things just get out of whack. And she said, I've seen, and she's going to send me the video. I haven't seen it yet, but she said they've taken actually MRIs of people when they breathe properly, really right, the right way, which I guess with a lot of stress and worry and fear, it's most people probably don't. I don't know. But you can see, she said, you can see how all of the organs are kind of floating, and they just get massaged, and it massages every organ, including your heart, every time you breathe. And that breathing the wrong way, or the mechanical way that we've probably been, many of us been learned to breathe by whatever reason, it actually squeezes down on them. And it can cause a lot of different issues, including trigger points. So she's feeling around right up there where my stomach was mostly sore. It's still sore from this thing she did. And she said, well, I can feel two or three trigger points right up there at the top of your stomach, right under your sternum, you know, right under the V. You can feel under there. That's the top of the tummy or the sphincter. I can feel a couple trigger points there that are pretty big. Would you like me to get rid of them, help you? I said, sure. And she said, well, this might hurt. I said, okay, whatever. I don't care. And it's called dry needle. Have you ever heard of this one? I think it's a European thing. Let me get some water. Dry needle. It's called dry needle. So she's got these needles. I didn't see what they were because I was laying on my back with my eyes closed. So who knows? I didn't want to look at them. So she's got this needle, and she puts them pretty close to where she wants to put them and kind of taps them in like that. And then kind of goes around until she finds the trigger point and actually just kind of gets in there and gets it. And when she gets it, if you're relaxed, it'll do that circuit breaker thing like you feel when you hit a trigger point sometime. You know what I mean? Like your crazy bone, when your kids used to hit that thing, that feeling. It just, your whole body just jumps. And that'll release it pretty quickly, called dry needling. People do it all over. And you'd be surprised at how many different places that used to kind of be sore when I pressed in. I still got a couple. I'm going to go back before. Isn't that cool? And so we did about three or four in there, and then did some in my shoulders and one in my neck. I've had a trigger point in the left side of my neck for 40 years or so, that every now and then, less and less, but I can feel it. It just kind of gives you that thing when I'm doing yoga, if you can just really move your head a certain way. The challenge with trigger points, my experience has been, is that it's difficult to really get in there and really move into it gently, because there seems to be an off and on switch, right? because they're so, some of them are so hot that if you turn your head and it's just a certain way, it's not like you can ease into it and kind of figure out, you know, how to work through it spiritually, get to the root cause of it, which you could do. I haven't been able to do it because it just fires, you know. But so I'm gonna go back and do some more and have her do, we didn't do a lot of the visceral manipulation, which I think will be fun. And here's the thing, when you know you have a good person, so I said, well, I'd like to make another appointment. First one she had was about 5 weeks out. So you want to go to those kind of people that are busy. Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, 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 yeah. Adam says, I hung upside down to put blood in my brain instead of my feet, inspired by yoga headstand. Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. No downside to that, I guess. Yeah, Dr. Wong, we asked him about it. I like to stand on my head. I haven't done that for a while. I'm going to go back to doing that. Having success. What? See if I can read this. Some have questioned whether snarky is a real word. There can be no doubt that it is. The adjective has been recorded in English since 1906. Its original meaning, crotchety, snappish, has largely been overtaken, however, by the far more frequently encountered sense, sarcastic, impertinent, and irreverent. Oh, so it means like what I think it is, right? Crotchety, snappish, yeah, snarky. That's why I use it. Oh, I didn't read the... Jay says having sex is good. Yeah, you bet. It really is. That lower chakra can get kind of locked up. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? There's no doubt about it, right down there. And get all locked up. Having sex is good exercise for the... I think you're right. In Batman, in the 1989 film by Tim Burton, Bruce Wayne hangs upside down, resting after spending the night with Vicki Vale. Did he spend the night with Vicki Vale? That rascal. I don't understand why you boil raw milk. Why would you boil raw milk? I'm just confused. All right, sweet. Janice. Yeah, the idea is that in Ayurveda, and they've done it for billions of years, well, maybe not that long, but these little milk guys, they do have a lot of stuff in there that maybe you don't want, that, you know, the baby cow can probably deal with because of their, you know, their gut and, you know, digestive capabilities, and they've got four tummies, and who knows. You know, you can have some bacteria in there that they're running around with, not necessarily bad, but just not as conducive to you. So boiling the milk gets rid of the bacteria that's not that could be harmful to you. But it also does a nice thing. It helps to digest the fat easier. It kind of thins it out, according to our guest who's going to come back on Tuesday. Dr. Marianne Teitelbaum. We invited her back. We liked her, Ayurvedic lady. And so, yeah, you lose some enzymes. On my throat here, hold on. But what Ayurveda does, Janice, is just to replace, do some cardamom and simonin to put in the raw milk and just let it simmer for a couple minutes. And that'll kill anything that'll, creepy crawlies that shouldn't want to get in there. And that could be an issue too for a lot of people trying raw milk and they have a problem with it that I never really thought about. Now, most of the raw milk people, they just drink it raw because they think like it's better. And it may be, I'm just showing you what I'm doing. I'm not saying this the right way. Who knows? It's hard to even use that word anymore, isn't it? The right way, the wrong way, the right way, the wrong way. belly breathing helps asthma and COPD, so total breathing is even more effective using all three lung zones. So we'll talk to Adam about that on Monday, if he's got some tricks. But I can also show you some exercise. I'm sure there's some, I think the fellow's name is Tom White or Ed White or Ed White, Tom White, Joe White. I used to teach choir and I would help students breathing correctly. I used to have them lay on the floor and hold their diaphragm, then they would sing. You can't shoulder breathe that way. The administrators thought I was nuts. Hold your diaphragm, so. That's right, yeah. Yeah, if you hold it tight, and then you try to fill up the rest, and don't let the stomach go down. Yeah, your shoulders don't move. But then, if my stomach goes down to try to fill up the rest, my shoulders go up. Good job. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, let's do, let's get out of here. I just need to drink about a gallon of water, boy, I tell you what, shoo. Yeah, how could you find somebody in the area? I don't know, you could probably just Google visceral manipulation in wherever you live. See what DuckDuckGo gives you or Googles. Dry needling, if you're into that, there's certification. There are different seminars. It's a real deal. Oh, I see a website there. MyoPainSeminars.com. Oh. Might be some information on the dry needling thing. MyoPain Seminars. Oh, it's called MyoPain. Certified MyoPain person. Kind of cool. I'm a certified MyoPain seminar person. Might be fun if you do that. It hurts. It hurts to be in love. Well, I mean, it hurts, but you don't know it's coming. I mean, just relax. So the worst of all it is just, it's not hurts. It's just kind of a, you can feel an electric shock or a body or pretty trippy. From the motion picture, trippy.org. Okay, Doodle and I are going to go outside probably and get a little sun. And we'll see you Monday with Adam Bergstrom. Marianne Teitelbaum on Tuesday. If you run across some people in your searches and YouTube and folks that you really are really cool and doing something different, email me, would you, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. I'm always looking for good folks. And I'm just getting kind of tired to talk about the same thing with some of this health stuff. So, you know what I mean, Jelly Bean? You know what I mean? So I'm open. Open. Open, open, open. So thanks for everything. You're doing good. Remember, when you get stuck, like we all do, a couple ideas. This too shall pass. Just this too shall pass. Even if you just sit quietly and feel the yuck, move through it, talk to God, clean your house, clean your toilets, you'd be surprised what'll happen. This too, it'll just pass. And then just keep moving forward. Cleaning the house is a great therapy. If you really can't figure out what else to do because you just feel kind of, just clean your house. An hour later, you'll just like, whoa, I feel really good. It's a feng shui thing. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. You guys are great. Appreciate it. Let me know if I can help with anything. over the weekend. I don't get too far from this, my little computer downstairs, my laptop, or whatever it is. We're working on writing projects, so if I can help you with anything, any information, or just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. See you with Monday with Adam. I love you all very much. You're doing great. You're doing the best you can. And may the blessings be. And remember that it takes a long time to get young. I mean, it takes a long time, man. It just, you'd be surprised. It could be a lifetime, man.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. 'Cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go and play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. 'Cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. Ooh, you make me feel so young.